Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so it may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do. I have what the word says that I have.
I have what the word says that I
have. I choose to open my heart
to receive everything the Lord has for me today.
Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. So far, we've learned that the Word of God is truth. It's where we gain knowledge of our true identity. Our foundational scripture has been John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The real ID truths we've learned so far. Ephesians 3:17. I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7. I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Galatians 4:7, I am an heir through God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I am guiltless in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. Romans 8:30, I am called by God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Today is part 12, Your Real ID. I've titled today's message, Overcomer. Have you ever felt discouraged? Beat down, defeated by the enemy, defeated by life, discouraged by the things going on around you? I know I have. The enemy comes with lies masquerading as facts that sound like our own thoughts. These lies are designed to bring fear and anxiety into our lives, fears and worry about our future. The truth is, anything that doesn't line up with the truth of the Word of God is not an actual fact. How do we battle the lies? How do we battle anxiety and fear? As an overcomer, how do you walk in victory in every area of your life? In all circumstances in life, how do you overcome? How do you defeat toxic thinking, fear, anxiety, and worry about the future. Ephesians 6:16 from the ESV, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I believe the flaming darts of the evil one are thoughts from the enemy that sound like our own thoughts. But they don't align with the truth of the Word of God or our true identity in Christ and the promises of God for our future. This is why it is so important that we take up the shield of faith. Faith doesn't just protect us from getting hit by the flaming darts, allowing those thoughts to stick into our mind, allowing them to come at us. Faith also extinguishes all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith is what keeps the lies from consuming our mind, consuming our thinking. I believe the flaming darts of the evil one are the sources of the raging fires of toxic thinking, fear, anxiety, and worry that consumes many believers' minds. The enemy doesn't come at us going, "Hey, this is a lie. Please let it consume your thinking. Please let it consume your mind." He doesn't come at us that way. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." The best lies, best not in a good way, the most effective lies are the ones that sound like they could be truth, that sound like facts or probabilities. This is why we've got to be on guard and weigh our thoughts against the truth of the Word of God. And only allow thoughts that conform with the truth of the Word of God to consume our thinking. If we find thoughts consuming our mind that don't align with the truth of the Word of God, we have got to stop those thoughts from spreading. Have you ever watched a fire spread? Have you ever seen a fire that begins spreading onto something else? I've seen a small grass fire before. And it's amazing how fast in dry grass a grass fire can move. I believe that's what it looks like. And this is what happens when we allow the enemy access to our thinking. The flaming darts of the evil one begin taking over our thoughts and spreading to the point that if we allow it to continue, it will consume all of our thinking. When our shield of faith is up, it means that we are actively choosing to focus our thoughts on truth by evaluating our thoughts based on the truth of the Word of God. This is why we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to spend time reading, listening to, and meditating on the truth of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 from the NIV says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." We must use our mouth to speak the amen, the so be it, to the promises of God. We have to choose to direct our thoughts and our speech to line up with the truth of the Word of God. I've been guilty many times of agreeing with the negative thoughts and then saying or thinking things like, "Well, the fact is," followed by whatever lie I have allowed the enemy to convince me is greater than whatever truth and whatever promise of God I should be standing on. If there are fires going on in our minds, lit by thoughts that don't line up with truth, we have got to grab the fire hose of the shield of faith with which we extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We have got to put the fire out, and we put the fire out when we grab the shield of faith and stand on truth. The enemy wants to convince us to lower our shield of faith. He's seeking to convince us to take our eyes off the truth of the promises of the Word of God and instead look at what we see in the natural realm. We're going to see in the Word of God today that faith is victory. You are an overcomer. As you stand in faith based on the truth of the Word of God, you are undefeatable. We have to remember the battle is for our faith. Each of us are either fighting a battle currently in some area of our life, or in the future, we're going to be fighting this battle with the enemy as he comes to test our faith, to test our shields. I don't know if you've ever seen like Star Trek or Star Wars or some of these movies where the ships have these shields, these force fields around them, and the enemy can't get to them until somehow they get the ship to lower its shield, to let the shield down. And many times they want to find someone that can sneak in on the inside and disable the shield from the inside. That is the enemy's tactic in your life. It's to get you to let down the shield because you are undefeatable as long as you cling to the truth of the Word of God, as long as you stand in faith. Which is why we are called to be sober-minded, to be watchful, as our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We find this command in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9 from the ESV. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I've been guilty plenty of time of thinking that I can handle the anxious thoughts, that on my own, I can reason with the anxious thoughts and meditate on them and try to figure out a solution on my own instead of casting them on God. This is pride when I choose to do that. When I choose to do that, I am standing in pride and walking in pride because I'm not humbling myself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt me at the proper time. I'm not humbling myself by casting all my anxiety on him, recognizing that I am not capable on my own of handling the anxieties in life, of handling the worries and the cares and the fears that come at us. We are commanded to cast those on him. If we choose not to obey the word of God by casting all our anxieties on God, knowing that he cares for us, we open the door for the enemy to attack our faith through lies disguised as our own thoughts. It's like lowering that force field. It's like from the inside, sneaking into the center of that ship, wherever they keep the place that turns off that shield, and turning it off. We do that. We turn off the shield of faith when we choose to walk in disobedience and not cast all of our anxieties on God, knowing that he cares for us. Now, in addition to casting all of our anxieties on God, we have got to resist the devil and his lies, standing firm in our faith. If we know how much God cares for us, that's the key. It's knowing. We've got to know how much God cares for us. And if we don't know how much he cares for us or believe how much he cares for us, we have got to spend time in his word getting to know God. Then we've got to choose to believe the love that God has for us. We understand the love of God. We understand how much he cares for us. It allows us to confidently cast all of our cares and anxieties on him, knowing that he cares for us. If you have allowed fear into your life by listening to the lies of the enemy, the answer to getting the fear out is understanding the love of God. 1 John 4, 16 to 18 from the ESV. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We first have to choose to believe the love that God has for us before we can experience being perfected in his love. Once we've chosen to believe God's amazing love, that his love is for us, then his perfect love casts out fear. Jesus tells us that believing and not believing are both choices that we have to choose to make. Jesus speaking in John 20, 27 to 29. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." We all have to choose to believe the truth of the Word of God, or we can choose to believe the lies of the enemy. When we don't choose to stand on the truth of the Word of God, by default, we're opening ourselves up to believing the lies of the enemy. Now, let me mention, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. I don't believe it's actually Satan standing on one of your shoulders with a pitchfork and horns, whispering in one of your ears. But I do believe that every lie you have ever entertained, every thought you've heard inside your head that didn't line up with the truth of the Word of God, is from the enemy. What do I mean that it's from the enemy? Jesus said, speaking to the people who are wanting to kill him for speaking the truth in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." As the father of lies, Satan is the ultimate source of every lie and all deception. He is the source of the raging fires of toxic thinking, fear, anxiety, and worry that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Watch how Jesus responded to thoughts spoken by Peter that on the surface sounded good, but didn't line up with the truth of the Word of God. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." We must set our minds on the truth, on the things of God. About a year and a half ago, the enemy launched a major assault against my thoughts. He was coming to test my faith. Megan and I had graduated from Bible College in Colorado after going on a wild journey of faith, where God led us from Ohio to Colorado without telling us up front why we were moving there. He just told us to move to Colorado, so we did. It wasn't until after we'd moved our family across the country that he called us to take the next step, leave the business world, and go to Bible College to prepare for ministry. Then from Colorado, After graduating, we moved to Waukegan, Illinois to plant Elite Life Church, where we purchased a house before ever living in the area. God led us to move here, so we came. We had no job lined up, no connections in the area, no connections anywhere even remotely close to here. I was physically tired after moving across the country, after the adrenaline from the move started to wear off after being here for a couple of months. The enemy launched a major assault against my thoughts. Thoughts that sounded like my own thoughts, but didn't line up with the truth of the Word of God or the things that Megan and I had heard God tell us. It was during this time that our whole family felt the spiritual oppression of the city we had moved to. The spirits of depression, sickness, poverty, causing alcohol and drug addiction all around us, broken families and gang violence. We felt the effects of that spiritual presence. And I allowed what I saw in the natural to begin overwhelming me. I allowed the lies to get to my thinking. I allowed the fiery darts lit by fires of fear in my mind to begin consuming my thinking. It got to the point where I spent weeks just laying in bed discouraged, as the enemy pounded my mind with thoughts, with lies, day after day. I praise God for Megan and our kids, who know how to pray and speak life and truth over my life. Megan was consistently speaking truth over me, and our kids prayed for me, even as they also battled lies from the enemy. Here's the thing, when we're in a battle, we don't feel like fighting. When we're beat down and discouraged, we don't feel like getting up and engaging the enemy. But we have a choice. When we're in those situations, we have a choice. Stand and fight with the sword of truth, taking up the shield of faith, or live in the oppression of the enemy, with lies consuming our thoughts like a fire spreading in our mind. What did Jesus tell Peter? For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. I had to choose to set my mind back on the things of God, not on the things I was feeling in the natural, not on the things I was sensing in the spiritual realm of this city. I finally chose to follow Megan's encouragement and stand on truth, and the whole family began walking through our home and declaring all around our property that the Lord had blessed us with. We were declaring with our mouth the truth of the Word of God and taking authority over the spiritual atmosphere of our home and property. The spiritual atmosphere of our city does not get to dictate the spiritual atmosphere of our home and property when we choose to bring it under the dominion of the kingdom of God. We were sent here to Waukegan, Illinois by God to preach truth and see the truth of the gospel transform the lives of the precious people of this city. I had to take up the shield of faith. I had to set my mind on the things of God, not on the things of man. When I did that, the shield of faith was able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Today, I'm going to show you from the Word of God how to take up the shield of faith in your own life, so you can walk in victory no matter what battle you face, now or in the future. 1 John 5:1-4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What is the this that is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. Standing in faith is victory. Whatever you are facing today and whatever you face in the future, the enemy is coming after your faith because you cannot be defeated when you're standing in faith. Again, you cannot be defeated as long as you hold on to the shield of faith. Remember, it's with faith that we extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. It is with faith that we overcome the world. Our real ID truth for today, 1 John 5:4, I am an overcomer of the world by faith. 1 John 5:4 from the ESV, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You are an overcomer. The word overcome, as defined in the Complete Word Study Bible Dictionary, is to be victorious, prevail, spoken of Jesus or his followers as victorious over the world, evil, and all the adversaries of his kingdom. The synonyms are to triumph, to have dominion over, to completely overcome, to be powerful, to be strong against, to control. The antonym is to be defeated. Faith is victory. Being in faith makes you undefeatable to the enemy. Faith is vital to your success in life as a believer. So what is faith? Before we go there, I want to point out there are multiple kinds of battles that you face in life. So there's spiritual battles where the enemy comes to oppose the advancement of the kingdom of God. This is what I was dealing with shortly after we moved here, knowing we were going to be planting a church in Waukegan. It was a battle from the enemy where he came to oppose the advancement of the kingdom of God. We see an example of this kind of battle in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So that's one kind of battle that we face as believers. Then there's a battle that we face against our fleshly desires, where we have to choose to crucify our flesh and walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We see an example of this kind of battle in 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. We also see it in 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So now, while there's multiple kinds of battles that we face in life, standing in faith is victory. Faith is how we walk in victory for both kinds of battles. Again, our real ID truth, 1 John 5:4, I'm an overcomer of the world by faith. It takes faith to be an overcomer. So again, what is faith? Here's a simple way to assess your shield of faith and see if your shield's up. What are you thinking about? What thoughts are you allowing to stick around in your mind? What picture do you see in your mind regarding your present and your future? So let's go back to Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Let me pause there and point something out. Jesus knew what God had called him to do. And the promise from God that he would be raised from death on the third day. Next, we see Peter voicing a thought that he likely thought was his own thought, but actually originated from the enemy, the source of all lies. Verse 22, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." We see here that the enemy's tactic is to get us to set our mind on the wrong thing, thereby thinking and speaking things that don't line up with the truth of the word. Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." This was a lie that didn't line up with the truth of the word. Notice that Peter spoke this lie because he didn't understand the truth of the word, that it must take place. Be careful what counsel you listen to. There are many well-meaning people and believers whose words oppose the truth of the word of God because they don't understand or know the word of God. There's a lot of bad theology in church, teaching doctrines of demons. This is why it's vital for us to spend time reading, listening to, and meditating on the truth of the word of God. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What are you setting your mind on? A natural picture, one what you can see with your eyes, or a spiritual picture from God's word? This is why we've got to guard what we see and hear and the thoughts that we allow to consume us. Hebrews 11:6 from the New King James Version, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must be diligent to seek God. How much time are you seeking God and putting the truth of God's word in you? You must allow God's word to paint a picture of faith that you choose to meditate on. 2 Corinthians 5:7 from the ESV, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This means we are to use the picture of faith to guide where we go and the decisions we make in life. We use our spiritual eyes, not our natural eyes, for direction in life. To understand how faith shows us a picture, we look at Hebrews 11:1-3 from the ESV. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Hebrews 11:1 from the New King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance or assurance. It's the knowing that the picture from God is already the true reality before you see it in the natural. No matter how many flaming darts, contrary thoughts, or lies that the enemy sends your way, you stand on the picture, faith from God, knowing the picture from God is the truth. It is your true reality. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So what is hope? If that's what faith is, if faith is the assurance or the knowing of things hoped for, what is hope? Hebrews 6, 12 to 20 from the ESV. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Notice this, hope is set before us as an anchor of our soul. Hope is out in front of us. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope is out in front of us. We don't see hope. Now think of an anchor. An anchor can and will hold if it's connected to something secure. It can also be used, though, to pull you out of a situation you're caught in. So I'm not a sailor, but I've seen a tactic called kedging used to pull a boat forward out of a situation. So kedging is a maritime technique used to maneuver or reposition a vessel, often in challenging situations such as tight harbors, adverse currents, or when grounded on a sandbank or something else. The process involves deploying a lightweight anchor known as a kedge anchor away from the ship, out in front of the ship or away from the ship, and using it as a fixed point to pull the vessel toward the anchor. Hope is out in front of you. It's like an anchor attached to the future promise, pulling you forward toward the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. Faith is the picture you see, the picture you know is true, no matter what things look like in the natural. Faith sees it as already done. While I haven't used a kedge anchor before, back when I had an ATV, a four-wheeler, I had an electric winch attached to the front of it. One of the uses of the winch was if I got stuck in mud or in another situation where I was stuck, I could find an anchor point out front of the ATV to attach the hook on the winch to, the anchor of the winch to it. And I could use the anchor point to pull the ATV out of the mud as long as the anchor point was secure. I've got amazing news for you. The truth of the Word of God is a secure anchor point. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Romans 5:1-5 from the New King James Version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also give glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we go through trials and tribulations, when we go through battles with the enemy, praise God for going through those things. When you get stuck in the mud is when you look for an anchor point for the winch. When you get stuck on the sandbank or you're in an adverse current, that's where you put the kedge anchor out. It is going through the battles in life that get us to go to the Word of God and find a solid anchor point, find truth in the Word that we're going to hook our hope to. We hook our hope to that truth. And then faith pulls us toward that hope as we get in there to move toward that promise that God has for our life. So when we're going through trials and tribulations, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, when it talks about rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, one of the things I love when I think about the glory of God, another way to look at the glory of God is watch this. In Exodus 33:18-19, Moses speaking to God, Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." So when we go through trials and tribulations, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the glory of God is the very goodness of God. God's promises are for you. The truth of the Word is for you. It is a strong anchor point. Get a picture from God of his goodness in your life. Get into the Word of God and find the promises of God that you anchor to by hope as you walk through whatever you're going through by faith. This is why faith is the shield that puts out every lie of the enemy, because it's connected to something that you know is true. You are an overcomer of the world by faith. So watch this process in action here in Romans 4:13-22. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. This is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations," in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Verse 18, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So back to verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. In hope refers to the hope that Abraham had in God's promise, a confident expectation that God would do what he said. Against hope refers to the lack of any natural reason to hope. From a human point of view, the situation was hopeless. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. He chose to grow strong in faith, choosing to give God glory, seeing it as done before he saw it in the natural. He had a supernatural hope anchored to God's word, not to circumstances. So God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham had hope in the promise. It was his future expectation, but it was faith that saw the promise as done, even though his body was as good as dead. Faith is the picture you see now. If you are seeing the wrong picture, if you're struggling to believe God's goodness in your life, if you're wondering if God's going to do it for you, you know he's done it for someone else, but was he going to come through for me? It's one thing to believe God can do something. It's another thing believing he's already done it for you. When you're struggling to believe God's goodness in your life, it's possibly due to not recognizing the amazing love of God that is already present in your life. We've been talking about faith and hope, but watch this. 1 Corinthians 13:13 ESV. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Galatians 5:6 ESV. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith works through love. When you choose to acknowledge and believe how much God loves you, you open the door for faith to paint the correct picture for your future. Romans 5:5 from the NASB. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is proof of the love of God that has already been poured out in your heart. It starts with a promise from God, his word. Then hope grabs hold of the promise. Next, faith sees the promised, hoped for, already done. Faith sees a picture of your future with the promise already fulfilled. It knows it's already yours when you're in faith. The picture you see is you obtaining the promise. We read Ephesians 6:16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I said I believe the flaming darts of the evil one are thoughts from the enemy that sound like our own thoughts, but don't align with the truth of the word of God, our true identity in Christ, and the promise of God for our future. Faith starts with a promise from God, his word. Our real ID truth for today, 1 John 5:4, I'm an overcomer of the world by faith. When I'm talking about faith starting with a promise from God, I'm talking about anything God says about you, your situation, and your future in the Word of God. God can't lie. All of His Word is sure and steadfast. His Word is truth. So when we're talking about a promise, we're simply talking about anything that we have in the Word of God that pertains to us, our life, our future. You could say it starts with the Word of God, then hope grabs hold of the truth of the Word. Next, faith sees the truth hoped for as already done. That's the picture you see when you think about your future, when you think about your present. It sees it as done. Because faith is a picture you know is truth now. God has already done it. In closing, let me give you one more picture of walking by faith in the Word. Joshua 6, 1 through 5 from the NLT. Remember, Joshua was one of the spies initially sent out to spy out the land. He came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb both came back with a good report. 10 of the other spies came back with a negative report saying there's no way we can take the land. The people are bigger than us. They're stronger than us. We're going to be crushed like grasshoppers. Now, 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones alive from that generation. And they are now, Joshua is now leading the people of God after Moses had passed away. He's leading the people of God into the promised land to possess the promise of God. But there's an issue. They come to Jericho. Jericho is fortified. It's impenetrable. So watch this. Joshua 6, 1 through 5 from the NLT. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. Joshua now has a word from the Lord, a promise from God. And this promise came with a strategy that made zero sense in the natural. Joshua now has a choice to believe or not believe. He chose to believe the truth of the Word of God. Or you could say the promise gives life to hope in Joshua. A forward anchor point tied to a future reality, Jericho is already defeated. God said, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. That was a promise of God. Now, did Joshua see it in the natural yet? No, the city was shut up. It was shut tight. But God gave him a promise of a future reality that Joshua chose to believe. So he chose to let hope anchor to that reality, to that promise of God. Then faith grabs hold of that hope. It sees what God said is already done, even before a single brick had fallen. Faith says, if that's the outcome, I'll follow the strategy, even if it looks foolish. If you go on reading in Joshua 6, you'll see that Joshua and the people followed God's direction, and it worked out exactly as God said it would. Now, we have the benefit of reading about this from hindsight, knowing that God was faithful to Joshua and the children of Israel. But we've got to remember, in the situation at the time, Joshua had God's past faithfulness to look to and rely on, but he had to choose to walk by faith to see the victory in this new battle he was facing. You and I have past experiences of God's faithfulness in our life, but every new battle we face, every larger giant we face, is a new opportunity for us to choose to walk by faith and see the victory that God has said is ours. Joshua 21:45 from the ESV says, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." God is faithful. God is unchanging. He will always be faithful to his word. Whatever battle you are facing now, and whatever battle you face in the future, I am here to remind you that you are an overcomer. You are already victorious by faith. 1 John 5:4, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." The real ID truths we've learned so far. Ephesians 3:17, "I am rooted and grounded in love." Colossians 2:7, "I am rooted in Christ." Colossians 2:10, "I am complete in Christ." 1 John 4:11, "I am loved by God as his beloved." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "I am a new creation in Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "I am the righteousness of God through Christ." Romans 8:16, "I am a child of God." Ephesians 2:19, "I am a saint." Ephesians 2:10, "I am God's masterpiece." Galatians 4:7, "I am an heir through God." 1 Corinthians 1:8, "I am guiltless in Christ." Ephesians 2:6, "I am seated with Christ in heavenly places." Psalm 139:1, "I am known by God." Psalm 139:14, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." 1 Thessalonians 1:4, "I am chosen by God." Romans 8:30, "I am called by God." 1 Corinthians 6:17, "I am one spirit with the Lord." 1 Corinthians 6:19, "I am the temple of the Holy Spirit." 1 John 5:4, "I'm an overcomer of the world by faith." Every single one of these real ID truths are promises from the Word of God. It is the Word that we can anchor to in any situation. Any promise of God, we can anchor to with hope and allow faith to see it as a present reality. Every one of these real ID truths is your present reality by faith. You are an overcomer. You are victorious by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that we are overcomers of the world by faith. Father, I thank you that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I thank you, Lord, that hope is the anchor that grabs onto the truth of your word and pulls us through any situation that we encounter. Lord, right now, I lift up anyone listening to this message who is walking through a battle, who may feel like they are at their darkest point in life. Father, I thank you that there is hope available in your word, that every one of your promises is yes in Christ, with us speaking the amen, Lord. I thank you for surrounding them with the truth of your word I thank you, Lord, that the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart and every fire that was lit in our mind by the lies of the enemy. Father, I thank you that as you bring hope to that situation, that they see light, they see hope, they grab onto it and pull out of that situation, Father, and see themselves at the top of the mountaintop with you, walking in victory over every tactic of the enemy, over every bit of oppression from the enemy. I speak freedom to addictions. I speak freedom from poverty. I speak healing and life over each and every person listening to this message. I speak restoration for families, restoration in lives, broken families put back together, lives made whole, addictions gone in Jesus' name, and bodies healed by the truth of the word of God. Father, I thank you that it's your word that we cling to in life. I thank you that your word is sure. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.